Hello everyone and welcome to the newest episode of Shutdown Coverage. Another week gone in the NFL. We're into the double digits this week, which is nice and bad. It means the NFL season's progressing, which is sad because we all love the NFL and we don't want to see it end. However, the flip side is it's getting to the meaty part of the season. It's getting to the exciting part of the season where teams are, you know, in must-win games. Everyone's throwing everything against the wall to get that W, to get into the playoffs. So it's an exciting time of the year coming up. Just for anyone who's new and just a reminder to our regular listeners, these episodes come out every Thursday throughout the season and most of the off-season. So please drop by to catch us every Thursday. We have a Twitter account at Shutdown Cover where we post semi-regularly, you know, to keep in contact with you all and to talk about the biggest points. And a thank you as ever to our regular viewers who tune in each week and listen to us chat about the NFL. Sy's here as always. How has your week been?
It's been better than last week. So for those of you who didn't listen last week was a shitty week. So I was in a car accident the day of our podcast recording, then managed to scramble to get my to get all the insurance stuff done I need to get done to get onto the podcast. So we started super late by our standards and kind of did a bit of a slightly quicker show kind of, but at the end it probably actually wasn't that much quicker than normal, and thankfully Ed was obviously able to come on a bit later. But yeah, not the best time. But this week I'm stressed for another reason. So unfortunately, being a watcher of many sports and many different things, it's been really difficult for me to keep up with the NFL this week. I did do my due diligence. I've watched the games as much as I can and everything else. But yeah, there's basketball on. There was AEW Full Gear. For anyone who knows, I am a massive AEW wrestling fan. I am that sad. Yes, I am. I don't give a shit. So yeah, I'm a very stressed man right now. But you know, yeah, looking forward to discussing this week. You know, kind of going over the scores and going into our next prediction. So let's bring it on, because there's quite a lot of news as well to discuss, isn't there?
There is a lot of news, and I'm glad you didn't mention Aston Villa, because no one wants to talk about that right now.
Yeah, well, I know Steven Gerrard. I mean, that's an interesting signing. It's an interesting managerial appointment, but we'll see how it works. He's come with a lot of buzz, so let's just see how it goes.
So NFL news. Yeah, I mean, I've got a few things to run through, and then Sy's going to run through his stuff. I want to throw out some comments, guys, and obviously feel free to get back to us on Twitter about that. So number one, the OBJ debut and the Rams losing another game. So another horrible looking loss for the Rams. In the last two games, they have not looked themselves whatsoever, has been picked apart on both sides of the ball with some ease. And I guess we should have seen this coming, because the week before or 2 weeks before that, they played the Lions and barely squeaked by the Lions. So perhaps we should have seen this coming, really. Lucky for them, they get onto a bye so they can start to try and fix everything. You know, sort of get OBJ and Von Miller acclimated to the offense and the defense and the play calling. OBJ was basically non-factor. He caught a ball, I think, on the first play of the game. And then Stafford was picked off trying to find him deep, and it just didn't go anywhere from there. Von Miller also pretty much a non-factor in that game. Baltimore losing to Miami. I mean, I don't think anyone picked that. I mean, that was a weird, weird game. And, you know, Miami looked a bit more enthused for having Tua, you know, whatever you might say about his future. They at least looked enthused to have him back on the field. He played okay. Let's not get carried away with how he got on, but he played okay. And Baltimore just couldn't handle the blitz. Miami blitzed something like 75% of the snaps, and they just could not handle this at all. So perhaps that's a tool for defenses going forward against Baltimore. The KC offense is back, at least for 1 week. It is the Raiders' defense, which is nothing particularly to write home about, despite having some good players like Max Crosby. And Gokwe is obviously having a good season, but the KC offense is back for at least 1 week. But again, let's not overreact, guys. They've been shocking for about 2 months, so let's not overreact to that. Let's see them, you know, play a couple more games. We'll go from there. Chase Young out for the year, which is really sad. However, he wasn't having the best year anyway. And unfortunately, the football team season, apart from just beating the Bucks, has been pretty poor. For some reason, they just seem to be able to beat the Bucks. Same as the Saints. Don't know what that's about. Lev Bell's been cut from the Baltimore Ravens. That could be the end of his career or near enough. I think if you can't stay on at Baltimore, we've got no running backs and like to run the ball, then you're not going to do great. And finally, a nice little shout out to Mac Jones and the Patriots for absolutely steamrolling the Cleveland Browns at the weekend. Ending dreams. ending dreams in Foxborough. I thought Mac was absolutely fabulous. And I have to say, I'm getting fed up, a little bit fed up. It was a little bit of soapbox for a second. Getting a little bit fed up with the I landed in the best situation stuff. He did, obviously, and clearly the best situation. However, he's so leaps and bounds ahead of the other quarterbacks at this point. Can I just stress at this point that I think that there has to be a little bit of credit that goes along with it. It's not just, he landed in the best situation. He did. But if you look at him compared to Trevor Lawrence and you look at him compared to Zach Wilson, Trey Lance isn't even on the field. Now, coming to you, and I can see from your face you want to retort that. In fairness to Justin Fields, if you compare him to Matt Jones the last couple of weeks, I would agree. I think they're much more on parity than they've been. But I think previous to that, it's fair to say Matt Jones was having a much better year. Yeah. So I think there just needs to be a little bit of fairness to Matt Jones there. He's still a rookie. You know what I mean? You know, he's still in an offense that doesn't have a million playmakers. So let's just, you know, pump the brakes on, he's at the Patriots, so why wouldn't he succeed? Don't think it quite works like that. We saw that with Cam Newton last year. Don't think it's quite that simple. Matt Jones has played better than Cam Newton by far already. So a little bit of a rant there. The Patriots are going to be a really tough out, might make some noise in the playoffs. However, don't get ahead of yourself. And this is coming from a Patriots fan. A long way to go before we start talking about championships and Super Bowl runs.
So, yeah, lot to digest there, Ed, my boy. Mm. As much as I'd like to rebuke you too much, I can't. I mean, in terms of, I think Justin Fields has three of the worst quarterback ratings of the season so far. So, I mean, like of the 10, he's got, it's like three or four of them. So, I mean, yes, in that regard, I mean, yeah, you can say that. But the one thing I would say is that, I mean, whereas you say Mac Jones has landed in a very good situation, and I'm not taking anything away from him at all, I'd say Justin Fields probably landed in the worst situation, probably with the exception of, I suppose the Jets and the Jags a little bit, but, you know, they don't have Matt Nagy as their coach. So I suppose, you know, let's say it's you know, exactly. There's some good points and bad points for everyone. So, yeah, I think the way I did it, I kind of talked about this briefly yesterday on my other pod, cheap advertisement for the other pod. So Wednesday pod on Twitter, where Ben talked about the fact that he said that Mac Jones was, you know, the best of the quarterbacks. And I think, yes, he probably has been. He had a little bit of a dip, you know, his kind of overall play started to dip over the last few weeks and has picked back up in the last couple of weeks, I'd say. However, I mean, it's still very difficult to ascertain what his ceiling is in terms of where he will be. I mean, I think you can see with that Justin Fields, if it all comes together, he could be an absolute monster in terms of he can run for over 100 yards a game, you know, kind of Lamar Jackson-esque. I know it's a lazy comparison, but, you know, if you're comparing him to running dual threat, running quarterbacks, it's a very good example. But he's got the long, big deep ball on him as well. But yeah, overall, I mean, Mac Jones has been the most consistent. And yes, he's had a good situation, but he has had probably, I mean, I would easily take the Bears wide receiving core over the Patriots wide receiving core. I mean, I don't think there's anyone on the Patriots. I mean, Aguilar has literally gone back to Philadelphia days of dropping balls continually. Kendrick Bourne's had a couple of fumbles recently. And it is nothing overly special, not to take anything away from the guy. But yeah, there's no guy you look at on that team and say he's an Allen Robinson or even a Darnell Mooney to a certain extent. So, you know, you can also say that, yes, he's had a good situation and he's ended up with Bill Belichick, who is like the greatest coach of all time. But, you know, there haven't been a consistently good depth all around their squad in certain positions. You know, what Jonnu Smith hasn't really been a force at all this year that we thought he was. It's all been up to Hunter Henry really to do all of the grunt work really. And unfortunately, I think is Jonnu Smith lost for the year, isn't he?
No, I don't think so. He is going to be back, but I think they'll keep him out for a few weeks, even though his injury might let him return sooner because of his play. I think he might be out a few weeks.
Yeah. So yeah, as I said, I don't want to take away from your soapbox moments because it's a lot to agree with. I think one thing you would have to qualify with is, yes, Mac Jones looks the best now, but will he be the best in the next few years? It's far too early to tell.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, give it another couple of years and see where we're at. But I think we're both happy with our quarterback so far. You know, obviously you're happy with now that the Pats turned it around and started winning games. As a Bears fan, I'd rather have a competent quarterback who's looking like the star of the future rather than win games necessarily. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I've come to terms with the idea that we're probably not going to win that many games this year. So at least let Justin Fields learn and grow and become what we all hoped he would be. And that is, you know, a dual threat franchise quarterback. So, yeah, that's what I think about that, really. But moving on to what I was going to talk about. So, yeah, briefly on Chase Young as well. It's an ACL tear. He's out probably, I would say, 6 to 9 months is usually the minimum time they give for these things. It can be as much as 12 months. So, I mean, if you're a Washington fan, are you hoping back for the start of the regular season, I suppose? So sad for him. Yes, he wasn't having the greatest of years, especially after such a promising rookie season. But at the same point, you know, he still played okay. And it's not nice for anyone to have a thing. And it just goes to show just how damaging this game is, that, you know, the amount of guys go out with ACL tears, with Achilles tears and things of that nature, because it's so grueling. It just beats on the body so much. And yeah, unfortunately, he's the newest victim of that. Talking about victims, obviously, you mentioned about the Rams. I just want to point out a question to you. So for your opinion, is it good that they're going into a bye off two horrible losses? Because sometimes you almost want to think, as a player, you think that they'd want to get back onto the, you know, onto the pitch and play as quickly as possible, because, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was not pretty. And in fact, either game wasn't pretty. And they were both kind of, in some ways, relatively carbon copies of each other in terms of early takeaways from the opposition defense, with Stafford throwing some not great interceptions and getting behind early and then just not being able to catch up. So, yes, I suppose you're right. You know, you get some of these new pieces on into the training ground, get them sorted, get them acclimatized. But at the same point, yeah, surely as a player, you want to get back on the field and rectify these wrongs, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is a momentum thing, and you don't want it to stagnate and everyone think about this. However, my worry would be, if they went out and played another game, are they just going to lose that game? I mean, they're too talented to lose all the games, you know.
Yeah.
But they unless they've got an absolute gimme game, I don't know whether I'd want to play another game, because they played the Titans, whose defense has stepped up hugely in the last few weeks and become a real force. However, they do have holes on that defense. They've played the 49ers, who have been shredded by Colt McCoy. So, again, a good defense, but they have their holes. And like I said, they nearly lost to the Lions. Yeah. So unless you're going to talk about going to play New York, who have given up, I think it's the second most points since 1950 in like a four-game stretch or something like that. Unlucky Robert Saleh. Yeah. I think it would have to be an absolute gimme. And then, yeah, it's a get-right game, etc. But this way, they get away from the game, they get to plan, they get some headspace, they get some time to relax, maybe let a couple of injuries heal, maybe there's a couple of people playing banged up. And also, I mean, I think they just need time to catch their breath. It's been a bit of a whirlwind year for them, in good and bad. And I think they just need to catch their breath and regroup. And I still have faith they're going to have a good year and maybe go deep in the playoffs. But I think they need a second to catch their breath. And by the way, that shot was probably quite unwarranted in some ways from Robert Saleh, because the Jets team inherited is poor. However, he is having them play historically poor. So at the same time, it's a real worry in New York with him having this year and Zach Wilson looking worse than Mike White, with actually not that untalented of an offense. It's not a good one, but there's been worse offenses. Goff's playing with less than him and has looked better.
I mean, Mike White, I mean, yes, I would agree with you on the first couple of games, but he had an absolute shocker at the weekend, didn't he? So four interceptions. Oh, that was,
but have you seen
brutal.
Zach Wilson play?
I don't know what you're talking about. He's definitely a four touchdown man, yeah. Zero interceptions. Speaking of which, this is a lovely segue. Thank you, everybody, for congratulating on my segue. Patrick Mahomes. So for weeks and weeks and weeks, Ed has been bad-mouthing Patrick Mahomes, personal attack after personal attack. Effectively, I felt like I was communicating with Skip Bayless. That's how bad it was getting. But he stepped up, Ed. So, you know, after having what we all agree is a pretty average year, you know, eclipsing his interception rate with, you know, within four games that he had last year. So he had like six interceptions last year, and he'd done that in four games. However, 405 yards, five touchdowns, zero interceptions. Is Patrick Mahomes back? Who knows? But it's an exciting time. And I don't know who in their right mind would decide to back the Raiders, but they were obviously left with some egg on their face, weren't they, Ed?
They were, yeah, absolutely.
That was both of us. We both thought we were so smart.
Yeah, we did. Do you know what as well? I was annoyed because I picked the Raiders, think I was smart. And then you picked the Raiders. And I was like, oh, damn, Si's got them as well. And then loads of analysts picked them. And I was like, oh, now they're just the normal pick. And then we all
got... Yeah, now we're just bandwagoners.
I think, as I said earlier, it's a wait and see. I want to see him play a couple more games. And the point that I know you're just having a bit of fun, but it is a valid point that I think the point was that it wasn't that he was playing badly. It's that he was playing averagely for an NFL quarterback. And it's Patrick Mahomes. He should never, even for nearly one game all year, play like an average quarterback. That's the level he set for himself. And so it's just interesting. Let's watch the rest of the year and see, you know, does Andy Reid adjust? Do we get rid of these fancy plays that aren't working because we're not playing very well? Will Patrick Mahomes start to take off the dump off? You know, there was an article about that, about the Raiders game, that he'd started to take the short ball, and that's what drew the Raiders' defense up, and then they started hitting the bigger plays. And so it'll be interesting to watch going forward.
And I mean, that's not rocket science a little bit, is it really? Like, I think
no,
sometimes, like, I mean, in terms of... it's very easy for us to armchair quarterback or armchair coach and be like, oh, they need to do this and then this will happen. But yeah, you're right. They didn't really do much. They didn't have much of a running game. They've never had much of a running game. And they weren't exactly experts of the short pass. So the defense wasn't, you know, kind of closing in and keeping close to the line of scrimmage to stop any of this. They were being able to range back a little bit because there was no worry about giving away those kind of running plays or whatever. So, I mean, yeah, if he can start doing that and they can start having an active run game as well, then they'll definitely be more of a force going forwards. And as I said, it's not rocket science. Sometimes the simple plays are the best plays because it sets other things up. And like at the beginning of the year with the Bears, like there was no play action, even though you had a quarterback who is, you know, a running threat. There was no play action. And you're like, how can people not see this? So sometimes they just need to almost step away from themselves and change things up a little bit. And maybe this will put the Chiefs in good stead, you know, come playoff time.
Yeah. And the AFC is so exciting. Yeah. You know, it's so close. There's four teams with six or more wins. And even then the max is, you know, one team on eight. And then everyone else has got five. There's literally like nine teams on five wins or something ridiculous. So very exciting.
Crazy. So one last story before we get onto the scores and predictions. It's a little bit more of a fun one. So after the absolute shellacking by the Denver Broncos, Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, was handing around something called Monkey Butt, which is a chafing like talcum powder type product, I believe, because they got their ass handed to them so readily. But it worked out. The message was received and they came out a swinging the other day.
Yeah, you don't want to be on the team you never want to play is the really good team who's just been embarrassed. Because they always come out and then just absolutely rinse whoever they play next. And that's just, unfortunately, you know, the Atlanta Falcons were in the wrong place at the wrong time, really. And they're not a good team, but it was also just the wrong time to play the Cowboys after that beat down by Denver. And sometimes these things can be risky because players take offense. You know, players have a lot more power now. You know, they don't like being embarrassed or kind of perhaps mocked. So, but like you said, it obviously worked and it a great result for them and they're back on track.
Yeah. So speaking of results, I'm just segue killing today.
Man, it's just working.
I am just absolutely killing it. So we didn't expect there to be a tie. And I suppose we should talk about the Lions. They were so close and yet so far. It was the weirdest game I've ever seen in my life.
One of the worst games I've ever seen in my life.
Mason Rudolph versus Jared Goff is a game that will live long in my nightmares. It was horrible to watch. Neither team seemed to want to win the game. Even in overtime, it was embarrassingly terrible. And in the end, we ended up with a tie. And I think probably this might be Detroit's best chance all year, although they still have to play the Bears, who are dreadful at the moment. So maybe that's their game to aim for. But yeah, if you're a Lions fan, a Lions player, a Lions coach, or an Lions management, surely you're looking at this game and thinking, what could have been?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it's a rare chance that for them to get a win this year. I mean, someone said the other day, oh, there's going to be no 0-17 team. And it's like, but A, they're one of the only teams to go 0-16, and they could still go 0-16-1, which is basically just repeating it. And exactly. Also, it's not a win, is it? It's still winless. That's the point. So I don't think it's saved that much, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think they're slapping each other on the back and saying, yeah, we got a tie. Yeah. I mean, it works in football because I think it's slightly different because it's such a longer, I'm talking about like British soccer. It's such a longer season. So a tie really works in certain circumstances.
Well, a draw, as we call it. Well.
Exactly. But yeah, in the NFL, it's really, I don't think Americans hate ties. So the act of equaling each other out, not the fashionable garment. So ultimately I've not kind of discounted the tie, because if one of us had bet tie, then they must have been the smartest man alive. So we've not gone for that one. So it ended up with and do you know which one of us won this week, Ed?
I don't know. I'm waiting for the surprise.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So I'm gonna do yours first. Ed, you finished with what it turned out to be a respectable 7-6, because it was another week of weird results, and obviously no expected the Bucks to lose and everything else. So 7-6 is actually quite respectable.
Not too bad.
A winning record. Yeah. And I came out with a 6-7 season. Season. 6-7 game week. Yeah, glad it's not a 6-7 season. Yes, so I had a losing record, to my ultimate embarrassment. So you are now plus one closer to me. That hopefully brings our record to 98-51 for me and 93-56 for you. So I'm five ahead. Yeah, I know. You cut it back down by one. But
what was
the
game that changed it?
It was the Minnesota Vikings Chargers game. So I decided to back the Chargers. And as it seems to be the normal equilibrium for me, they did the opposite to what they backed them to do. So, what can I do? I might just abstain from a Chargers game from that one. Because it's maybe very sad. But yes,
Bet the tie.
Yeah. Should I go 14 games this week? I'm going to go 14 ties. Or is it 15 games? Let's have a look.
You'll be right once.
Yeah, maybe. So ultimately, it's a sad week for me, but still five in it, and we'll see how it goes for the rest of the year.
Solid lead. Okay, so moving on to predictions. So we're going to run through every game starting on Thursday night and running through to Monday evening, and we're going to predict every game, give a brief explanation as to why, and then move on. So the first game, Thursday night, New England at Atlanta. So it's in Georgia, in the half-empty stadium, but, I won't go on about that. It's an interesting game because someone mentioned on NFL.com how this is the perfect trap game, and it is the perfect trap game. Obviously, Patriots on a win streak, but not the best team in the NFL, so they're not immune to a loss. Mm-hmm. Playing against Atlanta, who just got absolutely beat down and having a pretty poor season. If you compare the rosters, it's not really close. And it's on a short week, which often brings upsets. So it is literally the perfect trap game. I am still taking New England. I just think they're just stronger all round. I think their running back's better, offensive line's better, quarterback's not better. But I'll be honest, the way Matt Ryan's playing at the moment, it's closer than people might think. The wide receiver core is better. There's no Calvin Ridley. And so I think the depth in New England's better. The tight end, if Johnny Smith was playing, there would be better because there's more of them. But admittedly, obviously, I'd take Pitts. Although Hunter Henry's a touchdown machine at the moment, and every level of the defense is better and the coach is better. So it's hard to not pit New England, really. Although, as I say, this is the perfect trap game.
But does Bill Belichick have a better mustache game than Arthur Smith? I don't think so, Ed.
I don't think he's ever had a mustache game.
Yeah, exactly. And you should think about that where you're, counting your wins.
I'll stew on that.
You better. So, I agree with everything you say. I can't back the Falcons to save my life because I genuinely think they're a trash team. I'm not going to make fun of the fact that they're a half-empty stadium. You seem to mention this a lot. I think you might have a secret vendetta against the Falcons. But, I've just gone for the Pats as well. I think this is a game that is... it's difficult because it's on a Thursday and you never know what might happen, short week, et cetera, et cetera. But, they're light years apart in terms of talent. momentum. And this brings me into my kind of little rant I've got for this week. So I'll keep it short because we've actually been talking for a heck of a long time already. We've only just reached the predictions. I just want to talk about, and I'm talking about this from a experience of someone who's never played American football. If you saw me, you probably know why I've never played American football. But from the outside looking in, and from obviously watching it for many, many years, is there a tackling problem in the NFL? I mean, for example, and the reason I'm using this game as kind of a springboard is because there was Jacoby Myers' first ever touchdown, I believe, and effectively it was the defender, wasn't it? And he absolutely whiffed on a tackle, a cornerback there.
He tried to take him down with his shoulder.
Literally nowhere near. And I think he kind of like brushed against or slightly bounced off Myers, and he just ran for his first ever touchdown of his career. And congratulations to him, because he's actually a bit of an underrated wide receiver a bit. I think he's actually quite decent. I just think, but you see this every week. You see this consistently. Players deciding, instead of, you know, I mean, I'm not like a massive rugby fan by any means, but if anyone out there is a rugby fan, you can see, you know, rap tackling, you know, keeping hold of the man, tackling the legs, whatever. It doesn't happen in the NFL as well. It's all about try and get as much momentum going forwards and launch yourself like a javelin through the heart or the head of the opposition player. And it's so inconsistent when it works. I mean, you end up with a lot of these guys getting injured, a lot of offensive and defensive players getting injured. But also, it just seems to be so many missed tackles. And, you know, is it something that's taught at college? Is it something that they just kind of assume that they have to try and go with as much impact as possible? Now, I understand, like, it might be very difficult to just wrap someone who is super fast and super strong, you know, like a Derrick Henry. You're not just going to wrap tackle him very easily. But at the same time, these guys are also amazing athletes as well. And it just seems odd that it always seems to be, let's just launch myself head first or shoulder first at the opposition and see what happens. It just seems crazy to me. And yeah, please watch some rugby games out there and just see a nice comparison of, I mean, obviously the missed tackles in rugby, but it just seems to be a much higher level of technique and skill than actually seems to happen in the NFL. What's your thoughts?
Firstly, I feel like the British American Football League's missed out on our version of Wes Welker. you could have been there, mate. You could be a little slot receiver. You'd be fine.
Mate, my massive speed. Yeah, sure.
I, however, have played, but it was as a third-string quarterback, so I don't know anything about tackling. Right. However, I have a few theories about why this has happened. Number one, players are more about safety now, which is completely understandable. I think there's a lot more knowledge of player safety and concussions and all that kind of stuff. So players are a bit less inclined to throw their whole body at people, and they're just trying to check them with their shoulder instead. I think also offenses, where everyone wants to play now, it's not as balanced a game. So you get a lot of the perhaps better athletes, shall we dare to say, on offense. I think Deion Sanders would be on offense if he played now. You know, I think he'd probably be a wide receiver. I think also, I don't think it's taught particularly at college at all. I think shoulder tackling is pretty much what's taught. And finally, obviously you can't have as many contact games, training in the off-season, pre-season, training camp, and weekly. You can't have as many padded sessions. And again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because again, it's player safety. However, the impact of that is people are going to be worse at tackling. People are going to be just as good at throwing and catching and intercepting the ball, because that's not, you'd have to be padded. But, you know, people do this in training. They run up to each other and tag each other. They don't hit each other anymore as much. So tackling will obviously, you know, be worse because of that.
Yeah. And obviously anyone out there, hit us up on Shutdown Cover on Twitter. I mean, you know, anyone who's played or anyone who has more of an insight into this, because it'd be very interesting to see why it seems to be. But yeah, I mean, it's glaringly obvious to me on multiple occasions through every game that there are some horrendous missed tackles. I mean, some embarrassingly bad missed tackles. I think you've reeled off some really good possible answers for that. But yeah, if anyone else has any thoughts or anything, you know, hit us up on Shutdown Cover and go from there, really.
Cool. All right, nice little rant there. I like that.
Thank you.
So next one is New Orleans at Philadelphia. Two teams that no one knows what to make of. Week to week, you know, I don't think either has looked like a Super Bowl team all year, but week to week, playoff team to average team to terrible team. And it's hard to know which is which. New Orleans hung tough with the Titans last week, which is, you know, something to shout about. And Philly obviously had a good win in Denver, I believe it was, that Philly got past last week. So, yeah, an interesting couple of teams, a very 50-50 game. Who have you gone for in this one?
So, I don't know if this is an upset, if this isn't an upset. I've gone for the Saints in this one. It's a very difficult one. I think looking at the odds, I think the Eagles were slight favourites, maybe because they've got home field advantage and the Saints are coming off a couple of losses. Saints, you know, defence has been inconsistent, but it has still been there. They've, you know, they've held close to a couple of good teams. Trevor Siemian has... I mean, he's been all right. I wouldn't say he's been bad. He's been a bit of a placeholder, but he's not been bad. Bizarrely, his QBR rating is actually better than Jameis, but then obviously it's a much smaller sample size, so I suppose it's very hard to compare to that so far. I just can't find myself to back the Eagles. I think they play well one half. They don't play well the second half. It's very difficult for them to play consistently. You know, I could have brought myself to back the Eagles. Jalen Hurts, I'm still not a fan of. I think he's just a run-first guy because unlike someone like a Justin Fields who has the pass in him, I just genuinely think that Jalen Hurts doesn't have that ability to pick out a good pass as well. And therefore, runs is his only alternative for, you know, forward progression, as it were. So I've gone for the Saints in this one, but I could very easily see this being an Eagles win. And obviously, Eagles being at home as well is an added boon for them. But I've gone for a bit of upset, possibly, with the Saints. What about yourself?
I've gone Eagles. You know, it is a pretty 50-50 game. And there's a few factors. You've covered a lot of it. But there's a few factors to maybe do it. A, they're at home, as you mentioned. B, I think they'll take a lot of momentum from their, you know, previous performance in Denver. And also, I just think they're quietly improving. They're still not a great team. They've still got some holes this year. And they're going to have to get rid of some of those vets that are on big salaries in the next year or so. But right now, I think they're just rounding into a semi-competitive team. And by that, I don't mean per game. They're obviously competitive in games, or there's a win one last week. But in the league, kind of a semi-competitive team. And I think Jalen Hurts can potentially do just about enough. I think Devontae Smith's having quietly a fantastic year, but no one knows because Philly are rubbish and Jalen Hurts isn't him getting him the ball enough. But I just think Philly grind this out. I can't rely on Trevor Siemian. I think Kamara might still be injured come this week, and I can just see Philly pulling through. Next up, another exciting game. We have the awesomeness that is the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. What a matchup! Obviously, Miami. Let's pump the hate brakes for a second. Miami, obviously, with a great win against Baltimore. Seeing if they can follow that up, see if Tua can get a bit of a streak going, which would be really interesting because I think at this point, Tua's career in Miami's done. And I think at this point, just judging from this exact point, his career there is done. I think the coaching staff will be on a very tight leash next year. However, if they can string some wins together, get up not to 500, but to near 500, I think that could save Tua and put the coaching staff actually in a semi-decent standing with the franchise. So, you know, it can all start here. Big win against Baltimore, beat the Jets, and go on from there. I think they've got the Jets again as well, so they can double up, you know, before the end of the year. Jets, they're starting Flacco, so Zach Wilson isn't back and Mike White's not playing, so they're starting Joe Flacco, which says everything about where they are at the moment. And I think Robert Saleh really is coaching for his career because people don't generally get dumped after 1 year, and the Jets, because they've done this so often, they don't want to be the franchise where everyone goes, I know I'm going to go there and have 1 year, but it's so bad that, and especially as it's the defense that's so bad, which is his thing. I don't think he will be fired, but I genuinely think if they keep losing by so much, they'll have no choice.
I mean, it's difficult with the Jets as well, because I think there's been such a losing culture in that, you know, neck of the woods for such a long time I mean, I know there's not necessarily that many holdovers, but I just think it just reeks of failure and despair and loss.
It's like the Jazz.
And yeah, you know, it's just one of those places that it must be like there's almost an aura around the place of like, oh, it sucks to work here. And it shouldn't, because, you know, they've got some real promising pieces. I mean,
yeah,
Zach Wilson, you can't make a decision on him in year one. I think maybe they threw him to the wolves a bit by not having a pretty competent backup situation, because although Mike White had his one amazing game, he's not exactly, you know, he had an absolute horror show last week, and it's now been replaced by Joe Flacco, which kind of, you know, is self-explanatory about how bad that is. Dolphins, I was on a night shift actually at the hospital when I was watching a little bit of this game. Don't judge me. It wasn't the busiest of nights. Yeah, it kind of looked like Miami's defense, just as you kind of said earlier, just kind of stepped up to the plate. I mean, we kind of thought that they would be a really good unit at the beginning of the year, and maybe because the offense has been so incompetent, it's affected the defense. And I mean, we've seen that with, for example, my beloved Bears, with even the best of defenses has to pull on the worst of offenses. It can take a massive toll because you're on the field all the time. You know, it gets exhausting. You get some more injuries, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I've gone for the Dolphins in this one. I think they're the much better side, you know, at least on one side of the ball. And I just think the Jets, it's all over for them for this year. I mean, it'd be very interesting to see if they can pull out another win or two. Maybe if when Zach Wilson comes back, maybe he can create a little spark for the offense. Because he is an electric player when he gets started. I mean, as I said, it's not really happened for him consistently this year, but he has that in him potentially. Yeah, so I've gone for the Dolphins in this one. I think it will be a game that I will not be paying much attention to.
Yeah, and I don't think most of America will be. I think you hit on a really important point there. I'm going to go Dolphins as well, but the only thing I'm going to add to this before we move on is I think you hit on a really important point, and in regards to Robert Saleh, it's not just that the results are so terrible. It's that, as you say, actually, they've got a bit of talent. They haven't got loads, but they've got two or three wide receivers who are either young and talented, like Elijah Moore, or they're not that talented, but they're vets and they know their savvy routes and they know what they're doing. Their offensive line, you know, in parts is pretty good. Their defense, you know, they've got Mosley back. They've got a couple of other Pro Bowl players on the line, or Pro Bowl sort of caliber when they're playing well. They haven't got nothing. And so that's the other problem as well, just relating to his job security. Okay, Washington at Carolina. Obviously, Washington fresh off beating up on the Bucks. Sort of revenge, but not revenge for the playoffs last year, in the sense that obviously they lost, so it's revenge, but they played them really well last year when they shouldn't have. They just seemed to have their number a little bit. Obviously, as we said earlier, Chase Young is now out for the year, unfortunately, so they will be missing him. And they're playing at Carolina, who have been a very up-and-down team, but obviously got a big, big, big win of their own in the desert against Arizona. And Cam Newton obviously came in and got two touchdowns on two plays, which is a nice situation for him, although probably shouldn't be overrated, as they were both from like the 2 yard line, which is his perfect scenario because he can just run someone over to the end zone. So I know one was a throw, but yeah, don't overrate that too much. However, it does look like he is going to be starting this week, so it looks like it's going to be Cam Newton against Heineke. What do you think about this one?
So you'll give me all the fun games, all the easy games to predict, don't you? I think this is a very much both these teams coming off very, you know, confidence building wins. Who do I have more faith in, PJ Walker / Cam Newton or Taylor Heineke? And the answer is I have no fucking clue. I look at the Washington, I still am just disappointed. I know they had a good result at the weekend, although I feel a lot of that was just to see how bad the Bucks were by their own standards as well.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't consistently used their weapons. Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, as an owner of both of those guys in fantasy, it makes me very sad to have to witness their certain games of, you know, 3 points and stuff. It's quite sad to behold. On the other hand, you know, Carolina just absolutely unstoppable against the Cardinals the last week. And yeah, Cam Newton, people talking about him coming in. He was asked after the game how much of the playbook he knew. He said, "I didn't know any of it." So effectively, he was pointed in the right direction of what needed to be done and just managed to do enough. So I can't see him coming in anything beyond what he was used for this week. I'm sure maybe give him a couple more weeks, it might be a different situation, but I think that's a little bit unrealistic to get a guy who's been in the building for about 10 days to start being your starting quarterback that quickly. Especially with how, you know, not to be mean to him, but he struggled with some of the playbook decisions in for New England at the beginning of the year. So ultimately, I've gone for the Panthers in this one. They're the home team. I like the talent they've got. Although, once again, you know, that is not consistently being used as well. More, you know, you've got McCaffrey back, so hopefully that should be a bit more of an influence on things. So I've gone for the Panthers. But once again, this is another coin toss game. I could very easily see it being a Washington football team victory.
Yeah, I've gone Carolina as well. I think what it came down to for me, just to add on to what you said, is actually the presence of Cam Newton. I just think when they get down the red zone, he'll come in, he'll run a certain package of plays, which will be hard to stop. Obviously, Chase Young being out does hurt, you know, trying to tackle someone like Cam. And McCaffrey being back is obviously huge. And I just think they've got that momentum. I just think that the energy in the building is going to be up with Cam being there in training and things like that. And I just think I can see them getting over the line. Next up, this is a big game. We've got Indianapolis at Buffalo. Obviously, both teams fighting for playoff seeding and playoff positions. The Colts have recovered from that terrible start to the year that they had, which we predicted, which, you know, feel pretty good about, that we said they would come back, you know, after a poor start to the season they have. Obviously, both teams, you know, almost opposites on offenses. Obviously, Indianapolis running all through the running game and Buffalo not being able to run to save their life. But luckily, they've got Josh Allen, although he's had his ups and downs as well. Both defenses are good, and I do mean good. However, neither are elite and I would say lack high-end playmakers. I think they've got lots of good players, but not that many high-end playmakers. So they're actually, you know, really similar teams. It's in Buffalo. Both teams need the win. Indianapolis more, but they both need the win, because if Buffalo lose and New England win, New England get first in the AFC East ahead of the clashes against Buffalo. So it is a huge game for everyone involved. One of the best games from this Sunday. And as you can probably tell as I'm rambling on, it's because I'm stalling, because I'm picking first here and I'm honestly still on a coin flip. God, I don't know who to take. I'm going to take Buffalo for two reasons. Number one, because if they win, I'm right. And if they lose, the Pats could be number one in the AFC East. So that works out either way. But also on a more scientific level, I think they match up quite well against the Colts D. I think the Colts D doesn't defend the pass incredibly well. And I think their defensive line's good, but Buffalo's offensive line is good enough to kind of play with them. I think they'll get Josh Allen time. I think the wide receivers will get open enough. And I just think the Indianapolis running game might be curtailed, because if the Buffalo offense scores quickly, you can't, this is the Baltimore problem, isn't it? You can't run the ball when you're catching up. Now, obviously, Lamar's proven that he can throw the ball now, at, you know, at a high enough level that they don't have to run the ball to catch up, or not all the time. Whereas I'd say Carson Wentz has proved that in the past, but within Indianapolis is still probably not quite there yet, even though he is, I think, enjoying a good season. But I'm going to take Buffalo.
I need to correct you. It's Carson Wentz.
I forgot we were in Hamburg.
Exactly. Yeah. Shout out to our Hamburg massive. We need to think of a nickname for our fan base. Better than the Faithful, as the 49ers fans. No, they are. It's an absolute dreadful name. And if you're a member of the Faithful, then fuck you. No. going completely off piece. Yeah, man. I've been in a car accident. So basically, yeah, this is a really, really good game. Really excited about this game. As you said, I mean, you've covered it quite well, partly by stalling because you were trying to think of who you thought was going to win this game, but also because there's a lot to be said. I think the Colts have been kind of underestimated in this game a little bit. I think Bills needed that victory and the method of that victory to get back after a few, you know, pretty odd, less than stellar performances over the recent, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. But at the same time, I still think the Bills are the better side. I don't want either of us to get put through tables as well. So I'd rather, you know, be kept safe from that. Yeah, I've gone for the Bills as well, but it'll be a really interesting game to watch. Two good quarterbacks, and Carson Wentz is starting to, you know, round to some nice form, and Josh Allen, you know, maybe needed a performance like he had last week. So, yeah, I've gone for the Bills on this one, but, you know, once again, I wouldn't be 100% surprised if the Colts managed to pip them.
No, I don't think I'd be surprised at all, to be fair. Next one is Detroit at Cleveland. Obviously, Cleveland got an absolute hammering in New England. Detroit got their tie in Pittsburgh, but obviously Cleveland are without doubt the more talented team and the team that has had a better year so far, despite the fact that they have definitely underachieved. So it should on paper be an easy Cleveland win, or at least fairly straightforward. But what do you see?
I'm just, this is for all those, obviously none of you have got a camera, so none of you can see me. But I am hastily Googling Nick Chubb to see if he's back. And it sounds like he might be. So I am more than happy to decide to go with the Browns. I think, obviously, everyone knows my opinion of Detroit. Everyone knows my opinion of Jared Goff. I think he's a terrible quarterback that does mainly dump offs to his tight end, and that's basically all he can do. But at the same time, even though Cleveland have been borderline horrible on large numbers of occasions so far, my only worry being Baker Mayfield day to day, I believe, with a knee injury, left the game against the Pats, didn't he, with that knee injury? So a little bit of a worry on that front. But you can't back the Lions. If you back the Lions, you're crazy. And if you say the Lions, then I'm going to call you crazy, son, because ultimately, they are an absolutely horrible, horrible team. That even though they can't go 0-17, kind of feel like they maybe should. So I've gone for the Browns in this one. I'm not overly confident, and maybe this is the time. I said the last game was their chance, but maybe this is the chance for the Lions. But I ain't going to be backing them. I can never bring myself to back them. And it'd be interesting to see what you think.
Well, I'm back in the light. No, I'm not. I'm going to go Cleveland, but actually with quite a bit of hesitation, because Baker might not be playing. Mm-hmm. Nick Chubb might not be playing. So I thought, oh, like you said, is this the game for Detroit? Are Cleveland going to implode? However, there's two things that stopped me. Apart from that, Detroit are terrible. Number one, Kevin Stefanski, I think, is quite a level-headed guy. I don't see him letting this team fall apart. They might not achieve what they were supposed to, but I don't see them falling apart. And number two, the other thing is, Jared Goff apparently isn't going to be playing either. So I trust Colt McCoy and the Cleveland Browns. No, Case Keenum, isn't it, in the Cleveland Browns, than whoever the Detroit backup is and the Detroit Lions. So I've gone Cleveland as well.
I think it's Tim. Is it Tim Boyle? Yeah, which is the least inspiring quarterback name I've ever heard in my life. But yeah, I remember him playing last year, so I think it's Tim Boyle. But he's been on the injured reserve himself. So yeah, very interesting to see how that one goes forwards.
Yeah, probably not well. So next up is San Francisco at Jacksonville. So it's obviously in Jacksonville. San Francisco coming off that huge, huge win against the Rams. Absolutely took it to them and just out-physicaled them. Just beat him up, and the run game got going. Obviously, that's Shanahan's big thing. Garoppolo played well. It was the first time he seems to have played well for 60 minutes for quite a while. Jacksonville, obviously, you know, have a couple of wins under their belt now. So obviously, you know, some plus sides there. However, Trevor Lawrence still looks a bit lost, and the entire team just generally still, you know, it just isn't that talented. So they're a gritty lot and a fighting lot. But obviously, San Francisco have you know, put on some good performances recently, and obviously the far more talented team. So I can't go against them. I think they're going to be pretty fired up. I think they're going to think, do you know what? That seventh wildcard spot in the NFC, we can go and get that. And I think they can if they put together some wins. And I think if they're going to put together some wins, they absolutely have to win like a game in Jacksonville against a under par, you know, rookie quarterback and Urban Meyer led team.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think this is a game that we don't really need to talk about too much about. And this has not got anything to do with the fact that I have any confidence in the 49ers. I called them last week the great pretenders, because I think in a lot of ways they are anointed by a few people at the beginning of the year as a Super Bowl team. And yes, great performance last week, but they haven't been able to put it together consistently. But then again, they're playing the Jaguars. Just a little quick question, Ed. I was just having a little look at last week's game. Do you know what Trevor Lawrence's completion, what, how many completions he got in the game?
Was it something like, was it like 14 of 30?
It was, you're actually giving him a bit too much credit. It was 16 of 35. So what's that? Probably like low 40% completion percentage.
Yeah, it's zero touch. The same, isn't it? He's just thrown more.
Yeah, zero touchdowns to zero interceptions, taking three sacks. It's really not happened for him at all, has it?
No.
It really, really not happened for him at all this year. Whether it's, you know, could you argue, is it throwing your prized possession in too early, or is it more of a case of, you know, not having a proper support plan for him and not getting him ready enough for the season? Because this is a guy who has barely lost a game in his life, so is now joined the Jaguars, where that is what they do. If the Lions weren't there, that's what they would be renowned for, more than anyone. So, yeah, I mean, Jags, I can't back you at all. It has to be the 49ers, and that's all we've really got to say on that one, surely.
Yeah, I mean, just on Trevor Lawrence, I think, I think most of it is situation. Rookie year, poor team, actually turned out to be in a somewhat tough division, obviously with two good teams in it. Not much of an offensive line in front of him, not a great defense getting him the ball back. I do think he has to take some, you know, some licks. You know, he's got a couple of decent wide receivers and he's got a decent running back. You know, hasn't taken advantage of them at all opportunities. And he does throw a little bit of a wobbly ball. And people did bring this up in the draft process that, you know, when he's pumping the ball downfield, it gets a bit wobbly sometimes. And obviously in the NFL, where a split second makes all the difference, a slightly wobbly spiral slows the ball down, obviously, by a tiny bit. And that could be the difference in it being picked off and knocked down. So, you know, he's still got all the talent in the world and will no doubt be, you know, a very good quarterback. But yeah, I mean, I think he's got to take a little bit of the blame, but I think 80, 90% is the situation. Next up, Houston at Tennessee. Tennessee on an absolute tear, of beating five playoff teams in a row. First time that's ever happened, I think someone said, or again, the first time since 1960 something or whatever it is, that they've beaten, you know, playoff teams five times running. Oh no, I remember when it was. They said it was the 2003 Eagles, actually, much more recent, but still nearly 20 years ago. So it's been a little while. So they're playing really well. Obviously, got over the loss of Derrick Henry so far. We will see as the season goes on whether they continue that or whether that's going to, you know, come down to earth a little bit there. Houston, obviously, the most rudderless team perhaps in the NFL right now. You could argue everyone else has at least got a quarterback in place, even if they're playing terribly, or at least are, you know, in a position to blow everything up or competitive in games or just something. Whereas you look at Houston, you go, there's no quarterback, there's no direction, there's not even the fight there was early in the season anymore. I think even that started to drop off now. Their own players are criticizing the team, like Brandon Cooks blasted the team the other day. So obviously a team in real turmoil, but, you know, a team who could bounce back quick to looking beyond the season, because if they get that haul for Deshaun Watson, who knows what might happen. Okay, and they're obviously at Tennessee. Who have you got in this one?
So I just had a bit of a heart and mouth moment because Zencast had just told me I'd lost connection to the server. I was like, oh my God.
But yeah, me too.
I'm still here. We are still here, thank God. Yeah, panic over. Everything is sorted. We're still here, everybody. Do not panic. So I think this is another game that needs no real over discussion. Titans have been, you know, quietly, I mean, it sounds weird to say because they've won six in a row, but quietly successful. I mean, they started off, what, they 1-2, weren't they, I think? So, you know, to...
They got blasted by the Cardinals for opening night, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, and we kind of thought, oh, maybe we've over-tipped this team because both of us had them winning the division. And, oh, God, maybe I've backed the wrong horse here. But, you know, they kind of came round and they've won. And even having lost Derrick Henry, they've not let it phase them too much and still... winning games, as you said, against decent sides as well. So, let's not beat around the bush. Houston kind of thought, oh, maybe, you know, Tyrod Taylor coming back would give us a little bit of a spark. And he was absolutely useless in the last game he played. I think he did three for three interceptions, including an absolute bonehead one on the sidelines that it still boggles the mind to watch. So overall, you know, you've got to be smart about this one and say Tennessee. There's no alternative. So again, Tennessee Titans probably win this one. You know, I wouldn't say it's necessarily going to be a massive blowout, but a nice 10-point win, I'd say.
Yeah. I think it could be close for a little while. Tennessee, as I've said before, tend to play down to their opposition and up to their opposition. So could be close for a little while, but you've got to see a Tennessee win there. Green Bay at Minnesota. Now, much closer and much more fun game here in the NFC North. It's in Minnesota. Aaron Rodgers has completely owned the Vikings in his career against them, as he immersed most of the NFC North, as he told the Bears fans the other week, which I'm sure you very much enjoyed.
Yeah. Thanks for that, mate. Yeah, cheers. Yeah.
No worries. Hey, blame Aaron Rodgers. But obviously, you know, Minnesota, you know, a feisty team this year. Their record isn't fantastic, but their offense is, you know, obviously legit. And the defense is okay. It's coming along. You know, it's got its moments. Green Bay, however, their defense is playing at an, you know, Pro Bowl, all pro level, you know, fantastic defense at the moment. And Aaron Rodgers in his second game back should be sharper than he was against the Seahawks in Lambeau, where he looked pretty pedestrian, not bad, but pretty pedestrian. Russell Wilson looked bad, but we'll get onto that later. Mm-hmm. Who do you have winning Green Bay, Minnesota?
Yeah, that was an odd game to watch, the Packers versus Seahawks. It was two exceedingly rusty quarterbacks, you know, not playing to the standards that we have set for them. As you said, Russell Wilson was a lot worse. But yeah, Rodgers wasn't exactly blowing the doors off on his return either after his COVID situation. The Vikings, very, very, you know, they have the ability. I think when they win, they look really good. And then when they don't win, we think, oh my God, they're really bad. And it's about kind of finding that consistency. And they just haven't really got close to that. And we keep talking about Mike Zimmer. And is this his last year? I think unless he can find this consistency, it's going to be his last year. So I've got the Packers in this one. I think it'll be a close one. I just think the Packers are a better side. Aaron Jones, I think, may have a knee injury and might be out for the next 1 to 2 weeks. But AJ Dillon, I mean, he kind of showed out a bit in the last game. And I think he'll do it again. And I think they won't miss a beat in that regard. And obviously having Davante Adams et al. As well there as the, to kind of carry the load. I've gone for a Packers win. But I think it'd be a good game to watch. And it's a game I'll kind of keep half an eye on.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting. And AJ Dillon is really worth bringing up because I would argue he's run every bit as well as Aaron Jones this year in less opportunities. And it's funny because obviously he's one of the people who was drafted when everyone slated the Packers and said, what are you drafting a running back for? Well, exactly this, because now they don't have to pay Aaron Jones and they can just have AJ Dillon and they'll pretty much get the same production. That's why they drafted him. So it's interesting. It's not always about the quarterback, though it is accepted that it's most of the time about the quarterback. But occasionally the quarterback's got to, you know, swallow that pill and go, do you know what? They know what they're doing and they've picked a really good running back there. I think AJ Dillon's going to have a long and very productive career. And obviously for a long time with the Packers. I want to pick Minnesota in this game because I look at the offense and I think they can expose what holes there are in Green Bay's defense. And Aaron Jones isn't playing, or, you know, he's pretty much, you know, guaranteed he's out for 3 or 4 weeks, I believe. So I want to pick Minnesota, but I can't for the exact reason you said. It's just a complete lack of consistency. They got a massive win last week, and that suggests that there is no way they are going to win another massive game this week. And therefore, you've kind of, I feel like you've got to take Green Bay. Like I said, Aaron Rodgers has owned them as well, so I think they'll be confident. And Green Bay is looking to maybe start to move towards locking up the number one seed in the NFC North, which would be, you know, a bit of a surprise, I think, for most of us. And I think most of us had two or three teams ahead of them at the start of the year, but they look like they might be the ones who, you know, who lock it up. Yeah. Baltimore at Chicago. So it's in Chicago. Justin Fields, as we've been talking about, has been improving steadily over the last few weeks. Looks a bit more comfortable in the pocket. Looks like he's reading the play a little better. It's all slowed down a little bit for him. Obviously, still has his legs to rely on as well. Baltimore, obviously a funny team this year. You know, they're above a 50-50 team. That's more Minnesota, but they play like a 50-50 team. It's either we slaughter you, or we, you know, we lose a close game, but it's against a team where there's no way in hell we should lose to. And it's very odd and doesn't bode well really for the playoffs, you know, unless they get a top seed, because, you know, if they get the first seed, get a bye, or the second seed and get all home games, that's different. But if they have to start going to really good teams like the Bills, I don't know whether I trust them in that sort of one and done atmosphere, because which bowl mode's going to turn up, you know, 3 or 4 weeks running if you want to win a Super Bowl. So they've got some things to clean up, especially playing against the Blitz. You know best what Chicago's Blitz has been like this year and how they might be able to exploit that. So I'm going to pass over to you for your prediction first.
So I was so tempted to take the Bears because I think there are a lot of ways that the Bears suit playing against Baltimore. You've got, you know, our biggest weakness is our secondary because we didn't invest. We cut, you know, our best cornerback. Obviously, Jalen Johnson's had a pretty decent year, but, you know, we missed Kyle Fuller. Kendall Vildor, who's come in, has been possibly one of the worst cornerbacks in the league, sadly. Duke Shelley, who plays in the slot, has been just as bad. But this is a team that, and yeah, I know Lamar Jackson's had the odd game where he's thrown really, really well, but he's still not someone I would say is necessarily the most consistent thrower. And the kind of game against the Dolphins showed a few big weaknesses for the Ravens. I think the Bears front is dominant. If Mac, who hasn't been played for the last two games, comes back and Akeem Hicks is at least relatively healthy, hopefully both of them are coming off a bye, they can cause a lot of problems for the Ravens. However, I've just got, you know, four words on my description for this game. I've got the Ravens to win because better coach, more depth. You know, I think they're more of a well-rounded team. I think they've got some more depth. There's some areas that the Bears are better for sure, but it's not consistent across the board. I think both teams will try and play for the run. I think there'll be a lot of running going on, in which case it's going to be a lower scoring game. So I think both teams are going to try and wrestle controlling the clock from the other. But, you know, only a madman picks a team like the Bears who've lost, what is it, 5 straight? You know, so I've gone for the Ravens in this one, as much as I'd love to pick the Bears and be overjoyed if this happens. And I can definitely see it happening, but I can't bring myself to back them on this one.
Yeah, I think they've got higher depth in Baltimore, as you said, and the better coaching staff. I think they've also got a couple other things. I think they've got probably more premium players, not too many more. There's some really good players in Chicago, but they've got more premium players. I think they've also just got more will and need to win. I think Chicago, because of their loss streak, as you've mentioned, I don't think they've in any way given up on the postseason, especially as they're near enough 500, really, still. They've just lost a lot of games in a row. But I think, you know, that's the way it's trending. I think they know that one or two more games will see them gone out of that picture. Whereas I think Baltimore obviously in the thick of it, and they know every win is going to count when you've got Buffalo and Kansas City and, you know, the Steelers not far behind them, bizarrely, and the Titans and the Colts firing along, New England now firing along. You know, every win is really crucial for Baltimore. So I think I see them pulling through in a tight game, 17-14, some sort of like tight, low scoring game, typical kind of tough defensive teams game. Yeah. Next up, Cincinnati at Las Vegas. Las Vegas obviously taking a pounding from Kansas City the other week, which, you know, shows that perhaps they're the team that, you know, kind of like the LA Chargers, when you bet on them, they let you down. And when you don't bet on them, they batter the other team. Cincinnati kind of coming back to form a little bit. I mean, perhaps we should have seen this coming a little bit. You know, it was kind of a fairy tale to week sort of 7 with, you know, Joe Burrow looking like the quarterback he should be. And I'm sure he will continue to for the most part. But anyway, looking like the bright spark. And then, obviously, Jamar Chase catching 80-yard bombs every single game. Now the drops have started to come back in a little bit. People are obviously, people are double teaming him because they know he's the big threat. So that, you know, he didn't have that before. He didn't have the double coverage. Now people are rolling their best corner to him and put a safety over the top. So it's going to be harder for him to obviously contribute. That's not his fault. That's just clever defensive strategy. The offensive line starting to become an issue. It's kind of ironic because a couple of weeks ago, everyone was like, oh, those guys, because I am one of them, so I'm bitter. Those guys who said, take Penny Sewell, what a bunch of morons, ha, look at Jamar Chase. Well, now Burrow's going to be broken in half again. So enjoy your flashy 5 games, But when Burrow's out for the rest of the season in 2 weeks, just, you know, come back to that pick. Because my ad, I also said they should go and get Joe Tooney and actually splash some money for once in their lives. Mm. Because Cincinnati, they might be cheap owners in the sense they haven't got much money, but fucking they've got some money. They run an NFL team. Go out, pay Joe Tooney, draft Penny Sewell, and Burrow would have all the time in the world to find whoever you drafted in the third round to catch the ball. Little round there, but there we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Sorry, no, I just got so excited with what you were talking about that I kind of jumped in there a little bit. Did you actually say you thought it was going to win? Sorry, have I really interrupted you?
You have, but I was actually kind of rounding around to pass over to you anyway. A 50-50 game, isn't it, really? Mm. It really is a tight one. I'm going to go Las Vegas. I think bounce back from such a terrible result last week. I don't trust Cincinnati. I don't trust Las Vegas. But I trust Cincinnati less because one's got Derek Carr, one's got Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has more upside and is probably going to have not that much better of the career. Let's be fair, Derek Carr's had a good career, but short term, right now, in one game, I think Derek Carr's playing better this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've just been stung. Call me a fickle something. But I think we all backed Raiders to win against the Chiefs. They had their number last year. You know, they were close to unlocking the code of the Kansas City Chiefs. And then, yeah, obviously they lay a big, fat, stinky turd on the pitch last week. So call me fickle, but, you know, I can't find myself willing to back them. Like you said about the Bengals, on the other hand, though, last game obviously was a big, absolute blasting from the Browns, I believe. Also lost to the Jets relatively recently as well. So these aren't teams that if you're hoping to progress, you should be losing to. I've gone for the Bengals in this one, however, but with no confidence whatsoever, because I think both these teams, you talked about trust. I can't have trust in either of these two teams remotely. But, I've just gone for the team that's probably got just a slight better... I don't even think they got better talent, but they have some talent. And you just can't see what the Raiders are going to do. As I said, 1 week they're beating someone, and then the next week they're losing, you know, by absolute mile. So I've gone for the Bengals, but with no confidence whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, I don't think either team inspires particular confidence. However, I think, you know, there should be plenty of hope for these franchises. Just to put a nice twist on the end of this chat, that they are unpredictable, but they're unpredictably good. You know, Las Vegas, I think a lot of it will depend on the coaching hires and what Mike Mayock does in the next draft. Because if he can have a good draft and free agency period to supplement what's already there, maybe free of John Gruden's oversight now, perhaps, and they get a coach in who you know, lights a fire under them, I think they could move forward next year. And Cincinnati the same. They're clearly building something good there. They're bringing in plenty of talent. However, I think, again, you know, they just need one more injection of talent, another year's experience for the young players to get them over the hump. And unfortunately, yes, Bengals owners might have to pay out for a big star.
Go back to what you were talking about with the Raiders as well. I think I shared this with you a long, long time ago on our Facebook NFL chat we have with a few other guys. It was talked about that Mayock handled the second round onwards, but the first round pick was regularly John Gruden. And let's be honest, over the last few years, the area that the Raiders have really struggled in is their first round picks. That, you know, Damon Arnett, Jacobs is okay, but, you know, nothing special. Cleveland Farrell. I'm trying to think of the other one. Just really, really bad first round picks, and then making it up later in the draft. So yeah, give Mike Mayock a year on his own and just see what happens, because I think he has a real eye for talent, and I think that's shown with the Raiders later rounds of their draft, picking some real gems to make them competitive. Oh, Leatherwood, obviously, last year, duh. Yeah. That's the other pick
that
I missed.
That's what I was looking up,
yeah. Yeah, there you go. So overall, you know, it's really, really exciting, I think, if you're a Raiders fan, to get out of this John Gruden kind of shadow and just see what a new head coach, whoever they anoint at the end of the year, and Mike Mayock can bring together.
Yeah, and I think if that is true, which we don't know, maybe we'll never know, but if it's true, then I think Mike Mayock's had a good start to his career. I don't think it's been amazing. You know, this team isn't littered with fifth and sixth round gems, but people like Renfro and people like Crosby have obviously come through from later rounds and done really well. So if he can continue that, then, and you know, start getting these first round instant impacts, then you know, sky's the limit. Next up, Arizona at Seattle. Arizona obviously losing a bad game to Carolina. Perhaps it was too much to expect Colt McCoy to lead them to a second victory. However, the whole team was frankly pretty poor, so I don't think it's just on him. Speaking of pretty poor, playing Seattle, who were, you know, terrible in Green Bay last week. As we both said throughout the season, not a lot of talent on this team. And Russ also came back and played terribly, which I'm not going to lie, I had a little bit of a chuckle to myself. This is a little bit of one of those, yes, these people are better than me, and so I'm a bit jealous of them, so I laugh when things go wrong. And I loved that Russ built up his comeback, even though he was coming back after like 4 weeks off, not like an Alex Smith, like horrific career-ending injury. He like hurt his pinky, and then he did this big build-up of like cool, like CGI videos by obviously a PR company, and then played utter shit for 60 minutes, which I did find quite funny. But you know, you build yourself up. This is what happens. You build yourself up and it goes wrong and you look like a bit of a tit. But it'll be an interesting game because Arizona are obviously clearly more talented, but it's in Seattle. Russell Wilson is back, and we do know he's an elite quarterback, and he's got a week under his, you know, under his feet now. So a lot of it, I think, might come down to whether Kyler Murray's playing. Apparently, the latest news is he's trending towards playing. Did practice today, so that should indicate that he is going to play. So we're going to make these predictions, I think, based on the idea that he is playing. So if we're going to do that, who have you got in this game?
Kind of interesting as well, Kyler Murray, because it's an ankle injury, I believe. And he had an ankle injury at the end of last year. So obviously, I don't know which ankle it is. It could be the other ankle, for all I know. But a bit of a worry, you know, if you're a Cards fan, that maybe there is a bit of a consistent injury there that tends to get aggravated. You know, he's not the biggest of guys as well. He does get knocked around a bit. So, yeah, a bit of a worry if I'm a Cards fan. Yeah, Russell Wilson was dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. It was an odd game to watch the other day against the Packers because neither team looked overly amazing. We all know the Seahawks don't have a large amount of talent around the rest of their team, and therefore they rely on Russell Wilson to pick them up and to pull them through, you know, games that they're not expected to win. Having seen his performance last week, I don't have any faith that he is at that level yet. If Kyler Murray's back, which we hope he is, because obviously we want good players playing, yeah, you've got to go with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. They're still a fantastic team. One bad game doesn't change that. And yeah, the Seahawks are scrambling a little bit. I mean, it could be a game that was to go the other way, but I think a sane man bets on the surer thing, and I think that's the Cardinals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm going to be taking the Cardinals. I think they are a better team. I mean, if Kyler Murray wasn't playing, even though they are the superior team, I'd probably be taking the Seahawks just because Russ Wilson makes that much of a difference to that team. But yeah, I think Arizona, you've got to take if Kyler Murray's playing, even if he's 85-90%, you know, I still think they're just too good of a team. And they don't desperately need a win, but they sort of need a win. Otherwise, you know, they might start losing contact with the Rams, even though they're having problems of their own. But San Francisco will start snapping at their heels a little bit. And, you know, even though the NFC isn't as deeply challenging in the playoffs as the AFC is, as in how tight the race is, it is tied to the top. And obviously Arizona should be getting the top seed given how they started the season. So pressure on to win. It's also division rivalry. Next up is Dallas at Kansas City. I mean, it could be absolute offensive fireworks with a Kansas City defense that doesn't do much. And frankly, in my opinion, an overrated Cowboys defense, which is opportunistic and a big playmaking defense. It's not that they're terrible. It's just I think they're overrated when people say they're a really good defense. It's in Kansas City, so it does depend a little bit on the weather to whether we'll see all those points. You know, it could be snowing or it could be really windy, so it might be actually more low scoring than you think. A really interesting game, one of the better games again of Sunday. What do you think on this one?
Yeah, I just looked down at my piece of paper I've got in front of me and I'd circled the Chiefs and I was like, I don't even remember doing this game. Very, very interesting game. Once again, a coin toss, but I always think a good coin toss. And I mean, I think both these teams have the ability to win through, you know, sheer talent and win convincingly. You know, it looks like Kansas City, despite not necessarily playing well consistently through all of the games of their win streak, I think it's a 3-game win streak now. So they are starting to round into a little bit of winning form, whether that's kind of come out as good performances than another thing entirely. But the Cowboys were, you know, simply scintillating against the Falcons last week. But then again, that's the Falcons and they're terrible. I've gone for the Chiefs, home advantage. Both teams trying to get another win for different reasons. Obviously, Cowboys had a much more consistent year so far, and the Chiefs trying to catch up to those above them. I've gone for the Chiefs in this one. It's nice to see a little bit more of Tyreek Hill involved this week as well, or last week as well. And hopefully that continues and, we'll see another vintage Mahomes performance. But I've gone for the Chiefs in this game. But as I said, I can see either of these teams winning this convincingly because they are both pretty good teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a result of that, I'm going to take Dallas.
Hey.
I think the fact that they are, away worries me a little bit. I think they like being in that dome. They have all gone away and won this year, of course. I'm just saying, it's conducive to really good offensive football, isn't it? Playing in a track meet dome. But I thought, they rebounded really well last week. I think Dak and this offense can put up a million points on this KC defense if they play it right. I think they can run the ball on them as well, so they can potentially stay balanced and also keep Mahomes off the field when they want to. If they get ahead, let's say, and it's getting into the fourth quarter, I think they can then run it rather than staying in shootout mode. And I think the defense stacks up quite well because I think they've got the horses to get pressure on Mahomes. But also, I think Trevon Diggs can obviously, take someone out of the game or at least limit them. And I think Micah Parsons can play a bit of a role with Travis Kelce, actually. I think he can either bump him and still get after the quarterback because he's so fast and he's undersized. But obviously, Travis Kelce isn't as big as a lineman either. Or even maybe follow him out in coverage a little bit. I know he's a defensive end, or he's playing as a defensive end, but I think he could even follow him out in coverage a little bit. He's easily athletic enough to do that if he has a safety or someone over the top of him so he can really hold him at the line. So I think they have some little matchups that can work quite well against KC as well. But, it should be a fabulous game. Should be lots of points. Should be really close. So it's a bit of a coin flip, but I'm going to land on Dallas's side. Next one is Pittsburgh at the LA Chargers. Start of the year, this was perhaps quite a sexy game. And it's still a close game. It's still an interesting game, but it's not quite as sexy as it would have once appeared. Justin Herbert and that offense has definitely cooled off. They're still very talented. They're still plenty capable of putting up points, but they've definitely cooled off from where they were at one point. Their defense can't stop a running play. Doesn't seem to matter who's running the ball. My dad probably running the ball would rack up a few yards, just so everyone knows. He is, to be fair, 6'3" and quite big, so in pads I think he would hit pretty hard, to be fair. But he can't run, but nevertheless, against the Chargers, you don't need to be able to run. You can just run through the gigantic gaping hole at the speed you want to. I think their pass defense is much better. So I think Ben might have a tough time throwing, but I would worry for the Chargers if Najee Harris gets going. I think that could get quite ugly for them potentially. On the flip side, obviously Pittsburgh's offense, nothing to write home about. As I said, Big Ben might struggle against this pass rush in this secondary. And their defense is good, but not outstanding itself. And, they've got to keep up with a lot of playmakers against the Chargers. So it's a tough game to call. Pittsburgh obviously getting the tie last week against Detroit, which is not exactly inspiring football. But I'm actually going to take the Steelers. I just worry about the Chargers yet again. Chargers going to charge, etc. All that banter, etc. I just think they're starting to do what they do every year, which is look really good and then let me down, because I always think the Chargers are going to do well. They always have such a talented team, best looking team in the NFL kit wise, as I bring up regularly on this channel, and then they always mess it up somehow. And this time they haven't got injuries to blame, which is quite interesting, because the last few years they have been the most snake bitten team in probably NFL history. But the last year or so, they haven't got that excuse and they're still doing it. So it's definitely something for them to get over. I think Pittsburgh are the more veteran team, and I think they're just going to grind it out, run Najee Harris up the middle and scrape out a low-scoring victory.
So are you 100% sure Ben's back? Is that right? Is he definitely playing?
Well, I'm not 100%. I'm just, as the latest I've read, is he's playing. But
Yeah, because obviously that puts a big... If it's Mason Rudolph again, then oh my god, that's going to be a massacre. So I talked obviously before we started this show about the Chargers and how I'm going to abstain every time they have a game. No, I'm going to go with the Chargers on this one. Everything you say is 100% correct, but they are at home. They do have some talent, and they could be going into a bounce back as well. I mean, yes, we're thinking they're kind of rounding into a downturn of form, but they still have some absolutely quality players in that team. And you know, with Big Ben not being 100%, it kind of showed how rudderless that Steelers team were without him. And unless he's 100% playing, and I mean, this is crazy because Big Ben has not exactly even been that great. But without 100% certainty that he's playing, I'm going to go with the safer bet and go with the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm just having a quick look just to see if there's any particular news, but so far I can't see anything that suggests he's not playing. But obviously,
or is playing.
well, no, that's right. You know, there doesn't really seem to be any particular information about his injury at the moment. I mean, it could be because he's going to be out for a long time, and so there's no need to. Do you see what I mean? There's no need to really talk about him because we all know he's going to be out for a while. Yeah, I can't find anything at the moment. Yeah. I mean, I would agree if Big Ben's out, then it'll be the Chargers who win that game. But I'll stick with the Steelers, you know, whether Big Ben's playing or not, because that's who I've picked. So, you know, you just got to take that risk and see how it goes.
Roll the dice, baby.
That's it. Last game, which is the Monday night game, New York Giants at Tampa Bay. I mean, you would laugh, wouldn't you? You would laugh, apart from the fact that Tampa Bay lost to the Washington football team and the Giants just beat the Saints. Yeah, they did beat the Saints, didn't they? So, yes. You know, you would. And the Saints beat Tampa Bay. So in a nice holistic circle, we come round to, can the Giants win this game?
No. I don't think that. I mean, the Bucs haven't been great. They weren't great last week. In fact, I would probably say 4 out of the last 6 games, they haven't been overly impressive. And it's led to a couple of, you know, pretty humiliating losses, because you couldn't really say that the teams they've been beaten by are necessarily all world beaters either. I mean, as you said, the Saints game, Washington are, you know, a very inconsistent side. And although they've got some good playmakers, they failed to get them involved regularly. And in fact, didn't even seem to get them involved at the weekend, and yet still managed to pull out the victory against the Bucks. I don't know what's happening with them a little bit. You know, if you're a Bucks fan and you're out there, if you want to let us know what seems to be the case, is it a little bit of hubris and a little bit of overconfidence, or you know, bad bounce of the ball, or a little bit of everything? I know they've been obviously hit with injuries, especially in their secondary. Antonio Brown's been out for a few weeks as well, but. Yeah, overall, you just don't know what's going on, because I mean, they've still got Tom Brady, they've still got a lot of the defense, and yet, you know, they're not playing well consistently, and this happens obviously throughout the season for every team. It takes a very, 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 very good consistent side to win convincingly regularly. I mean, you're going to sneak by in certain games, and you're going to lose games where you maybe don't turn up as well as you'd like. Giants, I just don't think they're a very good team. Daniel Jones has had another iffy year, a year we really needed to cement his kind of, you know, position as the Giants quarterback. He hasn't had a good year, and maybe the only thing that might save him next year is the fact that the quarterback draft isn't looking a very good one. So there doesn't look to be many high-end quarterbacks available this year, so that might give him another year. He obviously is still on his rookie contract anyway. But no, I can't bring myself to back the Giants. I know Saquon is once again on questionable for the game. You know, had a bit of a non-starter of a year, really, with all the injuries and various things and COVID that he's had as well. So, yeah, I can't bring myself to go against the world champions. I don't know why they're called the world champions in a sport that's played in one country. The Super Bowl champions. I've gone for the Bucks in this one.
Yeah, me too. The Bucks just seem too powerful. They're going to be on revenge mission. Tom Brady won't let them slide, you know, from losing to Washington, in the sense of letting them get away with it, but also in the sense of let them slide to multiple defeats. He'll have these guys revved up and ready to go. The Giants obviously haven't got a ton of talent, still got lots of injuries to deal with. So I'm going to Tampa Bay as well. On the Daniel Jones front, I definitely think he will get another year, because I think that, firstly, I think he's played okay. He hasn't been terrible given the circumstances. And I think that's the big thing. Someone was saying the other day, you can't really evaluate him as a quarterback this year. And I kind of agree with that. I don't really think you can evaluate him because he's had nothing, just nothing. He's had Barkley out for most of the year. He's had wide receiver injuries. He's got Evan Ingram, which is like having an injured tight end. His offensive line's still shocking and his defense doesn't give him loads of short fields and takeaways. So, I mean, and the coaching is suspect. So, I mean, what is... He's getting clapped a lot, you know, because Jason Garrett's there. But apart from that, that's literally about the limit of what he's got. So, and I think the other reason the Giants can hold on to him is because if he plays well next year and you want to give him a contract, I don't think he's going to have loads of suitors. And I don't think he's going to think so much of himself that he's like, no, I'm holding out for 45 mil a year, mate. Do you know what I mean? So I think actually the negotiation won't be that painful. So rather than someone like Baker, when he came up and it was a big decision, or someone like Lamar, who obviously it was like, let's get this done because he's going to cost more every single year. I think this is one where actually they could sit on him for a year, see whether he's good enough. And if he is, to be honest, I don't think it'll cost that much anyway. So I think it's win-win. So those are the predictions, everyone. Let us know what you think at Shutdown Cover of the predictions. So I will post them later in the week, so you can also just reply to that message as well. Let us know where we're right, where we're wrong, where we're mad, where we're geniuses. More of the former, probably, but never mind. We'll see how we go. Last thing, just to round out the episode, we have some bets we want to share. As we always say, this is not expert betting advice. If you lose your money, you lose your money. We're not suggesting that, you know, we know everything. It's just some little bets that we'll probably put on in our accumulators at the end of the week, and we just want to bring them up just in case you guys go, do you know what, I really agree with that, and you want to have a go as well. So I'll run down mine first, and then Si can jump onto his after. I have New England -7 at the Falcons. I think it's probably one of those games, because it's a trap game, as I say. If the Patriots do win, they'll probably win by 3 on a field goal in the last second and mess this up. But in all momentum, coaching, team on paperwork, recent results on every possible scale, this should be a 14-17 point win. And I don't know whether it'll actually work out like that, but it should do. So I think -7 is quite good. The 49ers -6.5 against the Jags. Anyone playing the Jags who's got less than a touchdown as a minus, I'm 100% taking, unless it's the Jets. Cards -2.5 against the Seahawks. Again, assuming Kyler's back and healthy, I don't think that's a bad bet. I don't feel as good about it as the previous two, but if I'm going to bet on the Cards anyway, -2.5 isn't exactly crazy. If I'm going to lose on -2.5, I'm probably going to lose the bet anyway. And then Cowboys Chiefs over 55.5, assuming there is not inclement weather or any significant injuries before the game. I think that 28 points aside is very, very realistic. I could well see 35-31, 38-35, that kind of scoreline.
So yeah, so we've actually gone a little bit different with a couple of them. I got one that I also ticked off, which is the 49ers game as well. I think that's quite generous. On Paddy Power, it's -7, and I still think that's going to be the kind of the distance, or more, you know, a large amount more the distance from that Jags team, who are just absolute trash. I've got the Bears +6.5 against the Ravens. I think that's quite good. I don't think it's going to be a game that is decided by a lot of points. I could be wrong, but I think it's going to be a quite close game. And also with that, I've actually gone for under 45.5 points, because I think it is going to be a low scoring game. Yeah, as you said, you know, something like a 17-14 or something. Not a pretty game. Lots of running the ball, trying to control the clock, which will go towards an under bet. And I've got two more unders that kind of took my eye as well. The Lions versus the Browns, also at 45.5. You know, nice. maybe no Baker, maybe no Chubb, maybe not even a Jared Goff. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you don't even know who's going to be playing. And yes, obviously, really, you've like got to be aware of defensive touchdowns. But, you know, if you get a price like that and turns out that half those stars aren't playing and Jared Goff, then you know, take it, please, because I think it is going to be a low scoring game. And there's another one as well. And I think the Dolphins versus the Jets is also a possible game. Joe Flacco, are we expecting Joe Flacco to get, you know, 3 or 4 touchdowns? I can't see it. So, you know, I think that's going to be a game as well where we have a low score. And that's at 45.5 as well. I don't know. Everything's at 45.5, apparently. So, yeah, those are three games that take my eye. And it's not usually the unders that take my eye, because you know, you get your garbage time points, you get your strange defensive touchdowns and stuff like that that bulk up the games. But I think those are games that I'm at least, you know, relatively confident that might kind of jump out at me at game, you know, unders that might come true. So we shall see going forward. And there might be all be games which like 40 all, but yeah, we shall see. I'm confident of those ones a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's some really good ones there. I think the Bears one, especially, as you said, both the under and, and the minus points, although the under is even more attractive, to be honest. I think there's a really good chance of that coming out. So those, that well, that is the episode. I was going to say those are the bets, but that is, in fact, the episode as well. So that is another week in the books. Thank you to everyone for joining us. As we've mentioned a few times throughout the show, at Shutdown Cover on Twitter is our handle. Like I said, we post on there, so please reply and get involved. But also, you know, you can post your own thing and tag us in it. What do you think of the episode? What do you think of the predictions? What can we do to improve? What do you like? What don't you like? That kind of thing. We're always very happy to have some feedback. Episodes come out every Thursday, so every Thursday they will pop up in the evening UK time. So in America, depending where you are, that's sort of mid-afternoon lunchtime, depending on whether you're East or West Coast. If you subscribe, obviously you'll get, or just follow us on Twitter, as I said, we post when it's available, so you'll get a notification. And you know, please share and tell others if you're enjoying the episodes. Please tell other people who enjoy the NFL who might want to have a listen as well. Join the community and get involved. Any last words from Si, and then we will sign off?
No, I mean, yeah, especially any Americans that like our sexy British accents as well. But also, yeah, I mean, if you want, compete against us. Do your own predictions. It'd be really interesting to see how other people have predicted. You know, post it on our Twitter page, you know, and follow along. It's great to compete against people. As I said, we know that we're doing all right. I think percentage-wise, we're actually doing really well. But, you know, we're not infallible. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what other reasons other people go for other results. So, yeah, interact with us. We're up for it.
Yeah, we're a couple of guys who love the NFL and, you know, pretty fanatical about it. However, we are normal guys. You know, we're not ex-players. We're not plugged into all the people. Although I always wonder whether people have talked to people when they go, you know, a guy from an AFC team told me, or an executive in the NFL told me. I always think, did they really though? Or are you just saying that? I could just say that, couldn't I? Do you know what? Sorry, I talked to an executive from the NFL the other day and he told me.
I talked to Roger Goodell and he actually said that you should listen to this podcast. And I said, Rog, mate, yeah, fair enough. You know, if you want, you know, just leak it in a press release or something, mate. But, you know, don't go too far. You know, thanks for the help, mate. But, you know, so me and him are pretty close. But, you know, yeah, I didn't tell you
that. Don't make it obvious as the Gruden emails, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're just a pair of normal guys. Like I say, we love the NFL, but just normal guys. So please get involved. We want to chat with people, want to get involved in the community and just talk about the NFL. That's the whole point of this podcast, really, you know, just have some fun. So I hope everyone has a really good week. I hope you enjoy the games at the weekend. I will be up very late Thursday night watching the Pats play. So I'll be a bit frazzled on Friday. So I'll enjoy that, hopefully, fingers crossed. And I hope you enjoy the weekend. And we will talk to you all next week.